Book of Luke chapter 5. Luke chapter 5. Good to be in the house of the Lord. Good to have you here. If you're here today and a visitor, I hope you've been welcomed properly. If you haven't been, you're welcome to be here. I'm glad you're here. We hope the Lord would bless you today as a result of you being here. Luke chapter 5. We was here last week, and I never got to cover the second part of it, which I'm going to do today. If you don't mind, would you stand and show respect to the reading of the Scriptures? Now, we've looked at verses 1 through 3, but I'm going to read it again. It came to pass that as the people pressed upon him to hear the word of God, he stood by the lake of Gennesaret, that's the Sea of Galilee, and he saw two ships standing by the lake. But the fishermen were gone out of them and were washing their nets. And he entered into one of the ships, which was Simon's, and he prayed him that he would thrust out a little from the land, and he sat down and taught the people out of the ship. Now when he had left speaking, he said unto Simon, launch out into the deep, let down your nets for a draught. And Simon answering said, Master, we have toiled all the night and have taken nothing. Nevertheless, at thy word, I'll let down the net. And when they had this done, they enclosed a great multitude of fishes, and their net brake. And they beckoned unto their partners, which were in the other ship, and they should come and help them. And they came and filled both the ships, so that they began to sink. When Simon Peter saw it, he fell at Jesus' knees and said, Depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord. For he astonished, and all that were with him, at the draught of the fishes which they had taken. And so also was James and John, the sons of Zebedee, that were partners with Simon. And Jesus said unto Simon, Fear not, from henceforth thou shalt catch men. And when they had brought their ships to land, they forsook all, and they followed him. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we're thankful for everyone that's here today, Lord. We pray for all those that couldn't be here today, for whatever reason it might be, that you'd bring them back safely to us next week. And Lord, we pray that you'd anoint my lips of clay this morning, that I'd be able to bring a message that would be what you want. May I have the divine unction of the Holy Spirit, that what I say today would be powerful. Lord, we submit ourselves to your control and your direction. And Lord, we pray that when we're done here today, we can say it's been a good place to be because you were here. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. You can be seated. We noticed last week in verses 1 and through verse 3, and we entitled that message, The Press. And it was really refreshing when we brought the message from there, because the reason for such a press of people, they were pressing in, as it says, to hear the Word of God. And that's something that in our land is getting lost. People will press in for a cantata, or people will press in for a movie, or people will press in for a lot of reasons. But it's getting increasingly harder to get people to press in to hear the Word of God. And I'm going to tell you right now, the reason why you come to church is to hear the Word of God. If you can't hear the Word of God there, I wouldn't go anyhow with you. That's the reason why we go. And it says they pressed in to hear it. They've been hungry for it. The book of Amos said there'd been a famine in the land. And it wasn't a famine of bread, it was a famine of hearing the Word of God. Word of God is how we grow as Christians. It's how the sinner sees their need for a Savior. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word. So they pressed in to hear it. Well, today's message, we're going to entitle, when you look down into the text, Fishers of Men. That's what it says in verse 10. He said, From henceforth thou shalt catch men. Fishers of men. What I'm going to do today is give you three keys to catching people. That's what we're after, aren't we? Elizabeth Baptist Church, we're fishers of men. Everybody that's a member of this church should be. If you're here today and you're born again, you should be a fisher of men. That's just not my job or the deacon's job or the superintendent's job. That's every member's job. Every one of us that have been caught by the Lord Jesus should be a fisher of men. I'm going to give you three keys to catching fish. And what is the first one is seen in the verse 4. Notice what it says. Now, when he had left speaking, he said to Simon, launch out into the deep and let down your nets for a draught. But if you're going to catch fish, you can't catch them walking around on shore. You got to get in the boat. Of course, Simon Peter, if you remember, Simon Peter had loaned his boat as a mobile pulpit for the Lord. He did. The press was so great upon him from the people to hear the word that they were right up against him. So he went down and got in the boat, and I'm sure it was aggravating for Simon Peter. He'd been up all night long. He pulled a midnight shift fishing, because that's when they fished. And on top of everything else, they hadn't caught anything. So you're probably a little aggravated because that's how he made it his living. Now Jesus gets in his boat and said, thrust out a little bit, would you? So he gets in that boat and he thrusts out. He gets out on the Sea of Galilee. That would have amplified his voice. The people then would be able to see him. It helped everything. Well, after he was done preaching, he looks at Simon Peter and said, now, don't you imagine Simon Peter might have wanted to went home? He'd been up all night. But he said, now, you launch out into the deep. You go ahead and push out and let's go out into the deep water. And you let down your nets for a draught. Yeah, I'll tell you what, Simon Peter, I want you to notice what he says here. Verse 5, Master, we have toiled all night. Now, when he said we, what were the we? They were fishermen. Jesus, by trade, was a carpenter. What was a carpenter? What do they know about fishing? We, us fishermen, have toiled all night, and we have caught nothing. First of all, you didn't fish in the daytime, you fished at night. Because you use the nets. And you fish in the deep water. Jesus wanted to thrust out in the daytime to catch fish. So it was the wrong time to do it. And it, after him being up all night, it'd be they just didn't probably want to do it. But nevertheless, at Jesus' word, they thrust out and into the deep. Our first key this morning to catching men is you got to launch out. You come in, you press in on Sunday mornings to hear the Word. You press in to hear it. And on Sunday nights and on Wednesday nights too. You press in to hear it. And once you press in to hear it, then you launch out of this place to catch fish. Everybody got the point? Press in to hear the Word. You come in here to hear the Word so that you can be close to Jesus. That's how you grow as a Christian anyway, by hearing the Word. You press in to hear it, but then you launch out to catch fish, to catch men. Consider how many different families are represented here today. It'd blow your mind. How many different families are represented here today? How many places of work are represented here today? And just consider how many schools are represented here today. All these are fishing places. We come in and we press in to worship, and then we press out in order to seek to catch fish. What can we do to catch fish? What can you do to catch fish? I think that's what's important. You just don't want a few people in a church fishing. You want the whole church fishing. And you got something when you got a whole church fishing for men. Do you not agree? Many cases, the percentages are very small of people that seek the souls of lost people. And that's what I want to encourage you to do. I want you to encourage you today to be a fisher of men. We pressed in to hear it. But when we launch out of here, we want to be going fishing every week. Wouldn't that be a glorious thing for all of us to go fishing every week? Let me give you some things to do. Number one, first thing you can do, here's the first thing you can do is pray. First thing you can do. Now, if you're saved, you can pray. If you ain't praying for souls, if you're not praying for souls, then we've become distracted. You can pray if you're saved. You can pray for people in your family that's lost. You can pray to see people here at the church saved, different visitors that come in. You can pray. Let's turn to the book of Romans chapter 9. And I've read this a lot, and I'm going to keep reading it a lot because we need it. Let's look at Romans chapter 10. Romans chapter 10. Notice what it says in verse 1. He says, "Brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved." Now let me stop here just for a little bit. It says his heart's desire. He felt it in here. He had a zeal for his own people. Now, he wasn't real popular amongst the Jews because of what he preached and because he associated with Gentiles like us. And he took the gospel to the Gentiles. Aren't you thankful for the Apostle Paul? All the way down to the day, aren't you thankful for him? I mean, he would bring, so he wasn't popular with his people, but he loved his people. He said he had a heart's desire. Now, when you have a heart's desire to see someone saved, how does that show itself? Heart's desire and prayer. When you really want to see somebody saved, you pray to see them saved. You lift them up daily in prayer. You call them out by name and you say, "Lord, save this person. Oh, how I'd love to see this person saved." And if you really care, you'll shed tears over them. Actually, we like to call them wet prayers. Actually shed tears over the lost condition of their soul because you care for them. What can you do in launching out? Well, launching out begins with a prayer, I think. Launching out to catch men begins with prayer. If you don't pray for it, then you're not looking for it. If you don't pray for it, you don't look to it, or you're not looking for it. Notice over, and let's read on. Brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved. Now let's over to chapter 9 now of Romans. He says, "I say the truth in Christ, I lie not, my conscience also bearing me witness in the Holy Ghost that I have a continual heaviness." Now watch this now. He said, "I have a continual heaviness and continual sorrow in my heart." So not only did Paul have a heart's desire, which evidenced itself by doing what? Praying. When you really want to see somebody saved, you pray to see them saved. That's how it shows itself. If you don't pray to see lost people saved, our mind ain't right. And we've lost focus of what we need to be doing, don't you think? It's a heart's desire and prayer. Now he says in chapter 9, he said in verse 2, "I have a great heaviness and sorrow in my heart." Have you ever experienced that? Have you ever had a heaviness? And you know what we call heaviness? We call that having a burden for lost people. That's what we need, Larry. A good old-fashioned burden for people. And we think about their souls, and we think about them, and we pray for their souls, we actually shed tears over them. To where, you know, we don't want them to die where they're at. We want them to come to know Jesus. And we're thinking about it. And we think about it in our mind, we pray for their souls, and we pray for their souls, we actually shed tears of it. Because we have a heart's desire and a heaviness for them. Don't want them to die there. Don't want them to die there. And we pray that way. We pray so hard, we'll shed tears over it. I'm not going to do this, but if I could say, when's the last time that's happened to you, could you stand up? Could you? And if you couldn't, man, we need to change that this morning. We need to have a church that never, you must never lose vision of the salvation of the sinner. Never. And there has to be a prayer. That's what we can do. If we're going to launch out, that begins with praying. We just can't let a few in the church do it. The whole church has to do it. It's more people and more effective. Number two, what can we do to launch out? Number one, we can pray. Would you at least do that? That's all I'm asking. I'm going to ask you again probably next week. Would you pray? Pray. Pray for souls. Put them on your list and pray for them every day if you want to see them saved. If you haven't done that, you need to change that. Number two, you need to work your fields of contact. You need to work your fields of contact. That's where you're at. I noticed this when I talked through the book of Acts. Turn to Acts chapter 8. If you can't find things, I'm going to read these things so you don't have to turn there if you don't want to. I just don't want to lose you looking. I want to have your attention. Fishers of Men is the title. And I'm showing you three keys to catching fish. The first key is to launch out. And I'm showing you things that you can do. You can pray. Number two, you can work your fields of contact. That's where you work at. That's where you go to school at. That's your families. That's your community. That's where you're at. God will strategically place His people in places so that they can reach lost sheep. He'll do that. Book of Acts chapter 8, notice what it says. Great persecution happened in the Jerusalem church. Jerusalem church probably had 27,000 people in it. Great persecution happened there. And what happened is the people had to disperse because of the persecution. Well, it happened to be a good thing. They needed to disperse. They needed to get out and reach other places. And the persecution helped actually spread the gospel. Notice what it says in verse 1. Saul was consenting unto his death. That's the death of Stephen. And at that time there was a great persecution against the church which was at Jerusalem. And they were all scattered abroad throughout Judea and Samaria except the apostles. Now here's what happened. They had a church split, but it was a good one. You ever heard of a good church split? Yes, this is a good one. The persecution got so bad. See, they were isolating themselves into one spot, and they weren't going out. They weren't launching out none. They're just staying right there. And that's not what the commission is. We're to go into all the what? We're going to all the world with the message. See, they weren't launching out none. They weren't getting out none. Well, this persecution spread them. And notice what they did when they were scattered out. Look down verse 4. They that were scattered abroad went everywhere preaching the word. And the word preaching is not the same word. I'm heralding from the pulpit. Two different words for the word preaching in verse 4 and preaching in verse 5. Two different Greek words. The one that we're looking at here is just a tale. These were just common members of the church of Jerusalem that were scattered from the persecution. And every city and town and place they went through, they told people about Jesus. That's what they did. They didn't preach Him like I'm preaching this morning from a pulpit, but they told people. See, we come in and we worship and then we scatter out to reach people with the gospel message. And we have to work our fields of contact. We can do that. That's our families. That's our families. That's our neighbors. That's where we live at. That's where we work at. That's where we go to school at. We work those areas. One of the biggest blessings, and I've told you this before, that I got was one time I was working with a boy, and he's saved where I worked at. The Lord saved him. And they come in one day, and they shut our job down one day. You talk about a gloomy day. They come in, they said, "Boys, we're shutting the doors today. Get your stuff and get out." Thank you. Very compassionate. That was it, you know. And I remember I was standing there, and this boy was standing beside of me. And here's what he said. Tears me up every time I mention it. But he's standing right beside me. He said, "You know, Jeff," he said, "I'm glad I worked here, though." He said, "I think the Lord worked behind the scenes to bring me and you together so you could tell me about Jesus." Can I get a witness? That's my field of contact right there. I worked that field. I worked there. So you work your fields of contact. You, where you're at, you need to work it. What can you do? You can pray and you can work your fields of contact. Number 3, you can invite people. Next week's the Bring a Friend Sunday. And we won't yell at them for just coming on Christmas. We're just glad to have them. Just have them come on with you. Tell them to come on. I've had lawsuits that I ain't coming because, you know, they jump on people just coming for Christmas. Hey, come on till we want them to come on. Right. We've seen people saved on Christmas Sunday. Yeah. Bring them on down. It's an invite a friend. You can invite people to come. I'll tell them the gospel next week. I promise you. You bring them with you. If I ask you what you want for Christmas, you say, "I'd love for you to come to church with me this Sunday." That's hard to turn down when a daddy looks at their daughter and says, "I want you to come to church with me. Here's what I want. I want you to sit in God's house with me this Sunday." You can invite them in. Turn to Acts 10. Turn to Acts 10. I'm afraid we ain't launching out, folks. I'm just worried about it. If we don't launch out, then we just showing up for church every Sunday. Let me say it one more time. If we ain't launching out, then we just showing up for church. We got to launch out. And you can, if you're saved, you can. These things I'm telling you to do, you can do this. You can pray. You can work your fields of contact. And you can invite people in. Acts chapter 10, I noticed this when I talked through the book of Acts. And preached this several times over the years. Cornelius, he was a Roman centurion. And the Lord began to deal with his heart. And he was a good man in the eyes of man. But he lacked something. You know what he lacked? He lacked the gospel. He didn't know for sure how to be saved. He believed in the God of Israel, but he never trusted. He'd never heard the gospel message. So what happened is the Lord had him send for Simon Peter. I believe he was at Joppa. He said, you go, you send for Simon Peter. He's in a such and such a house. And you tell him to come on with you. He's got some words that you need to hear. You know what those words was? It was the gospel. That's what he needed to hear. He was religious, but he was lost. He needed to hear about Jesus. He did. He needed that so bad. Well, he sends his men to get Simon Peter, and here he comes with Simon Peter. He comes to the house. But I want you, he knew Simon Peter was bringing him words of life, words that could save his soul. I want you to notice what this man does. Let's look at verse 22, Acts 10. And they said, Cornelius the centurion, a just man, one that fears God and of good report among all the nation of the Jews. Now notice what this says. He was warned from God by a holy angel to send for thee to hear words of thee. That's the gospel. He was a good man outwardly, but he needed the gospel. Then he called he and them, and Peter went away with them, and certain brethren from Joppa accompanied him. And on the morrow, after they entered into Caesarea, and Cornelius waited for them. And notice, well, I want you to see what he does here. He called together his kinsmen and near friends. He knew that Simon Peter was bringing him a message that he really needed to hear. And he did. He needed to hear the gospel. And Simon Peter lays it on him right here. You just read that beautiful message here in Acts chapter 10. He knew he was bringing him something that would change his life and would save his soul. He knew that beyond any doubt. But you know what he does? It says he gathers together. Notice it said he called together his kinsmen and his friends. You know all he did there was invite people in? He invited them to his house. Think about that. He didn't have a degree in theology. I don't even think he was saved yet. But what he did, he called over. These would have been a lot of Romans. These would have been his friends. He said, I want you to come over. There's a man coming that's going to bring a message. And I want you to come down my house and sit under and hear him. All he did was invite him. That's all he did. And when Peter got there, that place was packed with people. You know why? He invited them in. He asked them to come. And they came. Can we do that? Well, yeah, we can do that too. We can invite. Won't you go to church with me? Sounds like David Eisner. Everybody he sees. Won't you come and go to church with me this Sunday? Go to church. Invite them in. A lot of times people can be saved in God's house, can they not? Remember the woman at the well? She didn't have a degree in theology either. But the woman at the well, once Jesus dealt with her one-on-one and revealed to her, I'm the Messiah, you know what she did? She dropped her water pot. She went into her city and said, come and hear the man that told me everything whichever I did. And the Bible says the whole city came out because of her. She hadn't been saved 5 minutes and did that. She couldn't show you scripture or verse anything out of the Old Testament. All she knew is right there was a guy that could help these people, and she invited them to come in. We can do that. We can do that. We can pray. We can work our fields of contact, and we can invite them in. And you know something else we can do? We can give them something to hear. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word. We give away, you can have a CD of any message here. And you can give that to somebody. You might hear one you really like that has the gospel in it. Give it to them. Have them listen to it and give it back to you. I told you before, I'll tell you again. Did that with a cassette tape. When I worked at M&W up there in Rock Branch, where Eddie and them's at now. My goal was to witness one time to everybody in that plant that worked for me. I thought it would be a horrible thing to work for a preacher and never hear the gospel. I just thought it was a horrible thing. So I thought, now how in the world can I do that? Because I ain't going to be able to get all these guys in church. I got that little cassette tape, and it had the gospel message on it. It's a sermon. And I take it to him. I said, this is one of my sermons. You know, when you preach it, they're going to want to check you out if they work with you. I said, I got this one. Would you listen to it? Of course, I was their boss. I'd have fired them if they wouldn't have. No, I just teased you. But I said, this one cassette, would you listen to it? Would you? And just, you know, they'd listen to it. And I said, I'll ask you to listen to it, and you bring it back. And they bring it back. I said, well, what you think? And then I'd talk further, see. So I got to witness to everybody in the plant that way. At least once. You know, they heard it. To catch people. Same as catching fish. Same as you got to launch out. You can't catch them on the couch. You got to launch out. These are things that you can do. You can pray. You can work your fields of contact. You can invite to come next week. Or you can give them something to listen to. We even got a radio broadcast. You can invite them to listen to that on Sunday, on Monday evening at 7:30. Number two. Here's your second key. Number two, you got to launch out with Jesus. They tried going out without Jesus the night before. Did they catch anything? They not only launched out into the deep, but they launched out into the deep at the word of Jesus, and Jesus was with them in it. One thing I've learned, I can't save them. Jesus can. I don't know people's hearts and things, and I don't know exactly what they need to hear. Jesus told his disciples in John 15 that without me, you can't do anything. So it's more than just doing these things. You got to do them with Jesus' blessing on these things. You got to have Jesus with you when you're out fishing. They went out the day before, the night before, they caught nothing. But now the difference is Jesus was with them in the boat. He knows where the fish are. Best fish finder ever walked this planet was Jesus. Amen. He knows where they're at. And He will work behind the scenes to strategically put them into contact with one of His people that knows the way. You got to launch out with Him. In the book of Acts, chapter 16, let's go ahead and turn there. Acts chapter 16. Paul, in Acts 16, didn't know where to go. And he was waiting to hear from the Lord, and he does. It says in verse 9, then a vision appeared to Paul in the night, and there stood a man of Macedonia. And he prayed, come over into Macedonia and help us. Macedonia, of course, when you read in your Bibles the book of Philippians, that was the church at Philippi, that was in Macedonia. When you read the book of Thessalonians, that was in Thessalonica, that was in Macedonia. Remember in Berean Bible students, Acts 17, that was in Macedonia. So there were churches there. People been saved there. But here's how it all got started. The fish finder, Jesus, pointed Paul exactly where to go. He goes there and let me point this out to you. He goes there on the Sabbath day, verse 13, on the Sabbath day we went out into a city by a riverside. By what? By a riverside. They didn't have a building. These were a bunch of women just sat and met every Sabbath day for prayer. Didn't have a Jewish synagogue there, and these women would meet for prayer by the river. That's what they'd do. And they was meeting for prayer, and along the way came who? Paul. Paul and Barnabas. Now notice what happens now. And notice what they do, verse 13. When we sat down and spake unto the women which were resorted thither. And a certain woman named Lydia, a seller of purple, of the city of Thyatira, now notice this, which worshipped God, heard us. Now watch this now. Whose heart? Finish it. The Lord opened your heart. Dead people don't open hearts. Before you were saved, you were dead in your trespasses and sins. The Holy Spirit opened her heart. And you know what it means to open your heart? It's to open your mind and to open your understanding, and you see it. That's how it is. You may have heard the gospel all your life, but buddy, there'll be a day when the Holy Spirit opens your heart and you see it, you understand it, and you want it. That's how it is. I want Jesus. I understand why I need Him. I want to understand why He died and rose again, and I want to trust Him. And you trust Him. See how the Lord opened that door right there? He sent Him where He needed to go. He worked that field right there, and He saved Him. Scripture says it pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. We're the one that shares the message. We benefited from the message, did we not? We want other people to have. I like to say it all the time. I'll say it again. I want you to have what I have. I got victory over death. I'm going to die eventually. But I got victory over death. And I'm just going to go home and be with the Lord when I die. Jesus has come. I'm ready to go up. I want you to have what I have. While I'm walking on this, my wilderness journey here, I got a constant companion and friend. I'm never alone in this thing. He's always with me. I never face anything but myself. He's right there with me, strengthening me, and giving me help all the way. I want you to have what I have. Well, you're going to catch men. You got to launch out. And when you launch out, you got to launch out with Jesus. You try to go in your own flesh, you'll fall right flat on your face. You go with His help. Lord, open me up a door, for example. Okay? You can do these things. Number three. When you launch out, you got to let down your net. You just can't take the boat out in the river or on the Sea of Galilee. You just can't take the boat out there and hold the net in the ship. You got to let the net down if you're going to catch fish. Do you not agree? Be pretty goofy to take the ship out into the midst of the Sea of Galilee in the deep water and then sit there with your net up, hoping one jumps in it. That sounds pretty goofy, doesn't it? But it's not. We got a gospel net to catch fish with, but we ain't letting it down. We got it. But you got to let her down to catch fish. Make common sense, doesn't it? If you want to catch fish, you got to let the net down. We got a gospel net, do we do? The gospel message is the power of God to salvation to everyone that believes it. We got to let her down. We got to throw that thing. Seek to catch. Pull it in. You've got to drop it down. Don't do it. We got it. God's given it to you. You got it. You've got to drop it down. Won't you do that today? I'm asking you to. I give you some things you can do. Man, I want to see somebody saved. I want to see people come to know Jesus. And I'm going to tell you something, folks. Church is a battleship. It ain't a rest home for the saved. It's a battleship. We're in enemy water, too. And we need to go out, buddy. We come in to worship on Sunday mornings. And then we launch out. There are different jobs, different families, different places. And we let down the net. Seek to win souls. To work for Him. 2 Corinthians 4. I'm going to stop with this. I think I said enough. Verse 3. Last text. If our gospel be hid, it's hid to them that are lost. Blinded minds. I had a blinded mind too. What's a blinded mind? It's the worst kind of blindness. You think physical blindness would be a horrid thing. It is. Physical, spiritual blindness is worse. The old writer of Amazing Grace, John Newton, he said, I was blind. Now I see. And the Lord opens your spiritual eyes
And you see, that's what it means to open your mind. He opens your understanding. The God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not. And that's why when you say it's about that sinner friend of yours, you say, I don't know why they can't see it. They're blind. Get off of them. They're blind. They're the same blindness that you had. And you'd still be there if it wasn't for the grace of God. That's why they can't see it. But the Holy Spirit can open their eyes up. They see and understand it, see. God of this world is blind to the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine to them. Verse 5, for we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus our Lord, and ourselves your servants for Jesus' sake. Verse 6, for God commanded the light to shine out of darkness hath shined in our hearts. You go back to in Genesis 1, God said, let there be light. He commanded the light to shine out of darkness, didn't He? But He also did that same day that He saved your soul. He commanded the light to shine in the darkness, and you saw. Here's what I was after, and we have, verse 7, but we have this treasure. We have this treasure in an earthen vessel. What treasure do we get? The gospel. It's a treasure. You become rich when you receive it. Riches shows itself on the day you die. The day you die, if you lose everything, if on the day you die, you leave all your riches behind, you're poor. On the day you die, you go to be with Jesus and you go to riches, you're rich. The day you die is what shows whether you're rich or not. If your death day is today, are you rich? I want you to have what I have. I think folks make it too complicated. I do in a lot of situations. But I just know this. If you're here then lost, I don't know what your past was. How can I say? I don't care. If you realize you're lost, I know that Jesus says, that whosoever calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And you don't have to have a degree in theology to understand that. He'll save you. He'll forgive you your sins. He'll give you everlasting life. He'll take up His presence in you and will never leave you nor forsake you. And at the end of your days, you'll go to be with Him. All God's people said. Folks, would you let down your net? Will you launch out? Would you launch out? And would you let down your net? Will you do the four things I asked you to do? You can pray. You can work your field. You can invite folks. And you can give them something to hear. These are things we all can do if we would. If we get a large number of people doing that, we'll see the difference.